Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name is Ryan. I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters. And some of you who are newer to Living Waters in the past few months might go, really? I've never seen you in my life. And you're correct in that. I have the joy of leading our Willoughby campus, so I'm thrilled to be able to join at Fort Langley again with you. Let me give you a bit of an update with Willoughby, because it would be weird if I didn't. We're having a great time at Willoughby. We've had a really good start. Today's a pretty significant milestone for us. It's actually 6 months today that we started gathering. So we started gathering here at the end of May, and it's actually 3 months that we've been meeting in Willoughby today, and so it's pretty exciting that we've hit those milestones at Willoughby. We're having a good time. We're seeing people from Willoughby show up. New people show up every single week, and that's exciting to see that our community is responding to us being there. That's exactly what we wanted, right? And so we're seeing that happen. And if that fails, that people from the community aren't connecting, we're having babies like crazy. So we have 5 babies in the next few months on their way, and so our nursery is going to be well used in the coming months. So we're pretty excited about what's going on. We're excited today that those 500 invitations are going out. We did this in September when we had our kickoff, and we saw great response from the Willoughby community. They're looking for something like what we're offering. And so we're excited that those invitations are going to go out, and we're going to be able to invite our community out there. So very exciting. We're starting our new series, Comfort and Joy, so let me pray to start that off. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christmas season. Thank you that we get to celebrate you for a good month. And Lord, that is such a wonderful thing to be able to do. Lord, as we go through this series as a community, I pray that you will open up our hearts and open up our minds to be able to receive who you are throughout this series. In your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. So comfort and joy. When we think about Christmas today, we see the Christmas lights going up. We see the stores beginning to decorate for Christmas. We think about good food. We think about getting together with family and friends. But when we think about back to that original Christmas when Jesus was born, it looked quite different, obviously. The food was kind of non-existent. There's a little bit of family, but not a lot. The stores weren't decorated. So how does that connect today? When Jesus arrived, he didn't show up bringing Christmas presents. He didn't bring up decorations. He didn't bring dinner. What did he bring? What is Jesus bringing today for us? Comfort. What is it? What do we mean by comfort? What does joy look like today? And what do these things have to do with Christmas? So this past week as a family has been an interesting week. We have had some awesome times as a family, and we've had some really difficult times as a family. One of the good things that happened this week is my wife was out with our 3 daughters doing some Christmas shopping, for me, I suppose, I hope. And they walked by a store that sold children's clothing. And in this store, they had a sale on. So all the kids' fleece sweaters or pants were $5 each. So a pretty good price. So my wife went in and she bought each of our daughters at least 1 fleece sweater or pair of pants. And so my kids were thrilled about this. So they each had their fleece sweater, and they would, when they wake up in the morning, they would put that on because it was so warm and comfortable, and they would wear it straight to bed. In fact, my wife had to go later to get more because they were just getting them dirty, and then they were really upset that they couldn't wear them that day. And so my kids were feeling this warmth and the comfort of that. In fact, I was experiencing it because they would go running by, and they look so comfortable that I just have to nab one of them and give them a hug, and they're all wiggly and let them go. But they were so comfortable and warm. It was pretty neat. Is that what we mean by comfort? I think that when we talk about being warm and cozy and safe and protected, those are really good things. But with Christmas, there's more. When we talk about comfort and joy, we're going to cover hope and peace and love and joy. We're hoping that we're going to inspire, that we're going to encourage you, that we're going to challenge you to understand more of what God's character is and who he is when he came to this earth. So let's start out with hope. What is hope? Well, good place to start is the dictionary, so let's go there. Hope, the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. Pretty good definition. Another description would be to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. Hope. It's what we all want in life. And it's something that is actually more spiritual than some of us put to. I have a comic up there that sometimes hope gets mixed up in some more secular things of life. But I think that hope has a great spiritual significance for us today. So let's turn to the text that we're going to use today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to cover verses 9 to 13. This is what it says. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God, our Father, when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. So we look at that scripture and we read it, and you look at it, and I know the question that's on all of your minds: what does that have to do with Christmas? That's exactly what I asked when I took a look at that scripture. So maybe a good place to start would be with the Christmas story. So let me give you a little bit of background to the Christmas story. The Israelites have been waiting for a Messiah or a Savior for a long time. In fact, they've been waiting for God to speak through the prophets for a very long time. The situation is actually pretty hopeless. Things are stagnant spiritually. They're being ruthlessly ruled by a foreign political power. And there's constant pressure to culturally adapt to those around them. And then in the midst of all of that, Luke chapter 1 happens. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 11 to 17 to start off with. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 17. So it says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Let's pick up the story again in verse 26 and we'll read through to verse 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, obviously, it's Gabriel, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor, David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Tell me there's not hope in those verses. In the midst of darkness for Israel, the Lord steps in, and Luke chapter 1 happens. So let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Let's take another look at that verse. Here's what it says. "How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill in the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God, our Father, when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen." So, in the letter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the believers in Thessalonica. These believers are pretty new in their faith. You can find the story in Acts chapter 17, but let me give you the general details. They go something like this. Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they end up being thrown into jail. You'll remember this story, some of you. They're thrown in jail, and they worship God in the midst of being imprisoned. And as they praise God, he miraculously delivers them out of prison. And they end up leading the jailer and his entire family to Jesus. After a while, they end up leaving Philippi and they end up in Thessalonica. So they've had some pretty cool experiences at this point. So Thessalonica is a city that's not unlike Vancouver. It's a seaport city. It's an important communication and trade center. And it provides access to other areas, inland areas. And it happened to be the largest city in its area. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? So Paul ends up in Thessalonica, and what he does is he goes to the synagogue and he preaches there for 3 Sabbaths. So they were there for 3 weeks. And Paul has great success in Thessalonica. Some Jews and many Greeks are won to Jesus, and then, as happens, the haters hate. Paul is run out of town, and he heads to Berea, which is a town outside of Thessalonica. And then Paul ends up being run out of that town too, and that's when he heads to Athens, and you can pick up the story for yourself in the book of Acts. So 3 weeks. That's all Paul had in Thessalonica. So Paul writes the words that we just read with that on his mind and in his heart. These believers have hardly had anyone to disciple them. So how is Paul offering hope in this passage? So let's look at what Paul writes. First, Paul is thrilled that the Thessalonian believers continue to serve Jesus. This in itself is a witness to the power of Jesus in their lives, that after 3 weeks of being discipled, they continue to serve Jesus in the midst of their city. Second, Paul loves them. He wants to get back to see them, and he hopes to see their love increase for fellow Christians, yes, but also for their entire city. And third, Paul knows that it is possible for them to be holy and blameless in the presence of God. Let me say that one again. Paul knows that it is possible for them to be holy, without sin, and blameless. Completely clear record. To be that way in the presence of God, the one who created all things. Paul knows that Jesus gives hope for the Thessalonians right now. There is community developing within the Christians there, and their love is increasing, and they're beginning to see that the freedom that they find in Jesus is needed for those who do not know Jesus yet. So what does that have to do with us in 2015? Jesus brings hope to our situation immediately, right now. Like, boom, right now, he brings hope. But he also brings hope for the future. Darcy alluded to this when I've been paying attention to the news in the past few weeks, as we all have. Things seem pretty hopeless around our world. With ISIS, with the bombings and the terrorist attacks in Paris, what's going on in Belgium and Beirut, with the shootings that happened in Colorado this week, the refugee crisis, the poverty and homelessness that we see on our own streets. Man, it seems hopeless. And not only that, but you throw on top of that the personal hopelessness that we can feel. You know, we all struggle with many of the same hope killers. Many of them are similar to what the Israelites and the Thessalonian Christians faced. Culture was pressing in on them. The world around them was putting pressures on them to conform to the things of the world. Many of us feel the hopelessness of media constantly bombarding us with the hopelessness of us not matching up to the world's definition of beauty. I feel that, even though you may think differently. As Doug said, we put my picture in the cards. No, we didn't. Many of us feel the struggle with the hopelessness of not being able to keep up with the Joneses. We don't have the house or the car or the boat or the clothes. So we feel broken and pushed down. So many of us struggle with the feeling that we don't match up to those around us. We feel threatened or lacking when we look at our friends or family or our coworkers. I feel that too. You know, one of the great things about being on the team here at Living Waters is I work with the most amazing team that I can imagine. They are capable, they are committed, everything that you want, which is awesome. The problem is I sit at the table with them and I look around and I go, these guys are all really capable and really committed. And do I fit here? Right? I feel it. And I don't think I'm unique in that sense. Listen, the point here is that we are all surrounded by the possibility of feeling hopeless when we focus ourselves on the wrong things. So what do? As Zechariah and Mary heard long ago, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers. You have found favor with him. He has sent a savior. Find your hope in him. And here's Paul's message to the Thessalonians. You are loved. Because of Jesus, you stand holy and blameless before God. You are a child of the King of all kings. The Creator who defines all beauty has made you beautiful. The one who makes all things new and shiny has made you new and shiny. So don't worry about what the world says you should be. And God has placed within you gifting and ability that is a unique combination that only works with you. So don't compare yourself to others. Look to the combination holder and let him define what you should be. Jesus has come so that we can have hope, abundant, overflowing, never diminishing hope. God's grace in our life redefines every situation that we face. And he says, it is not over until I say it is over. And until then, there is hope. 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 Martin Luther King said, we must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope. Jesus brings hope immediately. If you're in this room today and you don't have your life centered around Jesus, you're not in relationship with Jesus, let me encourage you. I wish I had a stronger word than that. Let me plead with you to look towards Jesus. Those circumstances in your life today that you don't know what to do with, when you center your life around Jesus, hope will be there immediately. That can change today, right now. The circumstances may not change, but our outlook changes. We know that we are in relationship with our Creator and that we are His child. Jesus also gives us hope for the future. Our lives are centered around Him, not the things that we let become idols in our lives. We talked about that in the follow series that we just finished up. Those things will eventually let us down. But Jesus, He restores all things. Did you hear me today? He restores all things. So what gives me hope today? Well, what gives me hope today is that refugees are being cared for. The homeless are being given shelter. Those in poverty are being provided ways out. Living Waters, we are providing hope, not only to Langley, but to the world. Let me mention a few places we're providing hope to you for this Christmas through the Helping Hands Initiative. The Gateway of Hope, Recovery Church, Salvation Army Christmas Kettles, Langley Development Child Center, Simpsons Manor, Langley Special Olympics, and Christmas hampers to families within the Living Waters community that need that help this Christmas. We are offering hope through each and every one of those things to our community. But it's not only that. We're also offering hope on the international scale. When I look back on 2015, here's the things that we've been able to accomplish. We've provided fridges for refugees in Iraq. We've purchased school supplies and fun items for blind children in China. We've responded with humanitarian aid to Nepal. We've responded with humanitarian aid, huge amounts of it, to Syrian refugees. And we've provided a water well in Uganda for an entire village. Come on, Living Waters, that's offering hope to this world. That's exciting. The message today is comfort and joy. Hope for today and the future is being offered through Jesus. So, Susan, comfort and joy. Have hope. John, comfort and joy. Have hope. Living Waters, if there is a prophetic bone in my body, comfort and joy. Have hope. For Jesus has arrived and He brings salvation. As you leave today, be encouraged. the situation you find yourself in today, that thing that's taking up space in your brain this morning, it is not in its final stage. God still has something to say about that situation. Have hope. And so as we go through the stores, as we hear the music playing, as we smell the cinnamon from our warm drinks, and as we taste candy canes, let us remember that all of those things need to remind us that Jesus can step into any situation. Let's remember the Israelites. Let's remember the Thessalonians. Let's remember the Israelites in Jeremiah from the scripture we read this morning. And let's remember that Jesus can step into any situation and he can bring hope. Let's pray. Lord, how do we thank you enough for stepping into situation after situation after situation and bringing incredible change to every single one of them? Lord, your coming to this earth changed everything. And Lord, we praise you because of that. Thank you that we stand here today, and although we feel the pressures of culture, although we feel the need to match up to everything around us, in the midst of that, you step in with your grace and your mercy, and you breathe life into us, and you speak hope into our spirits. And so, Lord, thank you that during this Christmas season, we get to celebrate you and celebrate the hope that you bring. In your name, Lord. Amen. So we're going to see you next Sunday as we continue in comfort and joy. But let's go through this Christmas season being reminded of the hope that we have and the hope, hear me today, the hope that we have and the hope that we offer. Right? This isn't just about us. This is about the hope that we can offer to those around us. So, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. May he make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday. We love you. If you need to pray about something, we're here for you.